morning and welcome to the January 2nd, 2020 Persis County Council meeting. First thing is the approval of the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you. Good morning, members of council. I do have one recommended change for today's agenda. We can strike executive session and possible action on executive session. No updates to provide today.
Entertain motion to approve the agenda's amended agenda. Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson, questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will, yes, motion carried. Next thing is the election of council officers. Mr. Lawson, take it over, please.
Thank you, sir. Council, as you know, first meeting of each year, we are required to elect our officers of the county council for that calendar year. We will elect the office of president and vice president today. So at this time, I would open the floor up for any nomination for the position of president of county council.
I'd like to make a motion. I'm nominating Michael Vincent for position of president.
Thank you. We have a nomination of Mr. Vincent for president.
I'll second it.
Mr. Hudson seconds. Any other nominations?
I'd like to make a nomination. Mr. John Riley for vice president.
Well, let's do one at a time.
Okay,
if you don't mind, I'll come back to you, Mr. Hudson.
Okay.
Any other nominations for president? We have one nomination, Mr. Vincent. Okay. Hearing none, we'll close the floor for nominations, and we will take the vote. Mr. Riley, you made the nomination. We'll start with you.
I vote yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Ms. Green?
Because of Council President Mike Vincent's vote for Brian Butler for planning and zoning, I am voting no. I don't feel like I was given a fair chance to nominate a person of my choice.
Thank you. And Mr. Vincent?
I'll vote yes.
Thank you. Now, Mr. Hudson, you would like to nominate for vice president?
Yes, I would nominate Mr. John Riley.
Okay. I have a nomination of Mr. Riley. Any other nominations at this time? Hearing none, we'll close the floor for nominations, and we will vote on the position of vice president for county council. Mr. Hudson, you made the nomination. We'll start with you.
I vote yes.
Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Ms. Green?
Because of John Riley's, or Councilman John Riley's nomination and vote for Brian Butler for planning and zoning, I'm voting no. I wasn't given a fair chance to nominate a person of my choice.
Thank you. And Mr. Vincent?
I vote yes.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, County Council. For 2024, County Council President will be Michael Vincent, and County Council Vice President will be Mr. John Riley.
Why don't you go ahead and do the member appointments and legal counsel?
Okay. Thank you. In your packet was the listing for the 2024 member appointments. I'll go through those now. These are the appointments that County Council will serve on for the calendar year. The list that was in the memo contains this year's current appointments, 2023's current appointments. I've heard no update request at this time, so I assume no changes will be made. For Delaware Association of Counties, County Director Cindy Green, Delaware Association of Counties Executive Board Doug Hudson, Delaware League of Local Governments Mike Vincent, Salisbury Wicomico MPO Mike Vincent, Sussex Conservation District Board, John Riley, Sussex County Airport Committee, Doug Hudson, and Sussex County Land Trust, John Riley, and Mark Schaefer. Without any changes to that appointment list, I have a motion.
Please read your motion.
Be it moved that Sussex County Council approves the 2024 member appointments as presented.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second.
Second.
Mr. Riley, question on the motion. Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will, yes, motion carried. Next, sir.
Thank you. Next is the appointment of legal counsel. Again, required by Delco to appoint each of our legal counsel at the beginning of the year. The list here includes all of our firms that we used last year, with the addition of one firm, Potter, Anderson, and Caroon, being added to assist us with personnel matters that may arise. We are recommending the appointment of Mr. Everett Moore for county attorney and Mr. Vince Robertson for assistant county attorney. For legal representation for all other matters, including the Board of Adjustment, Planning and Zoning Commission, and matters involving this Sussex County Council and Sussex County government, We would use Ballard Spar, Barnes Thornburg, Moore and Rutt, Parkowski, Girk and Swayze, Potter, Anderson and Caroon, and Young, Conaway, Stargate and Taylor. Any questions on legal representation? Okay. I have a motion for your consideration.
Here is your motion.
Be it moved, the Sussex County Council approves the 2024 appointment of legal counsel as presented.
Late motion, Mr. Shaver, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson, questions on the motion? You think about this. We'll take the vote. Mr. Shaver?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
All right, and last is our rules of procedure for 2024. I included the most up-to-date revised rules of procedure from last year's council. There are no changes to the rules of procedure at this time. They have been reviewed by legal staff and by legal and staff. Unless you have any recommended changes, they would remain the same. Any questions? I have a motion.
Please read your motion.
Be it moved, the Sussex County Council approves the 2024 rules of procedure as presented.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second. Sorry. Mr. Shaver, questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Shaver.
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Thank you, Mr. Lawson.
Thank you.
We have the minutes of December 12th. Any questions, corrections, additions? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Ring of correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. President. Also thank Council for the confidence in your vote. The first letter is from and of thanks is from Shoes That Fit, Ronald McDonald House Charities, the Greater Lewis Foundation, Food Bank of Delaware, and the Delaware Breast Cancer Coalition.
Thank you,
That's
sir.
All.
Any correspondence from Council? Correspondence. Okay, we'll move on to public comment. Is there anybody signed up, Mr. Costello? Under public comment, you'll have 3 minutes to speak to Council about something we have some control in, interest in, did you sign up? Okay, sure. Joe Hicks, you can come forward, then we'll get your name added on. He'll bring it to you. Just stand right there. And I'll call your name.
And Mr. President.
Make sure yes. This what you're going to talk about today. Make sure today you're not discussing anything that we have we're waiting on to make a legal decision on or anything that's under review for us.
Before I start, I do have a question about procedure.
Sure.
If what I show raises questions for council, are they allowed to ask? No, so it's just a comment and then?
Yes.
All right, good, thank you.
Is there something that really strikes the mind? So it's a really big deal. Normally, the only person under comment that would comment is the president.
All right, and you'll let me know if I'm in a territory that I shouldn't be speaking.
Mr. Moore will, yes.
Thank you, okay. Good morning and Happy New Year. I'd like to thank Todd Lawson, Vince Robertson, and Jamie Whitehouse for their work on the perimeter buffer amendment. And thank you, council members, for your continued focus on this issue. On December 12th, Mr. Lawson stated that council needs to decide if the 30-foot perimeter buffer is enough to, and recommended that council members perform site visits to make that determination. I invite each of you to visit my home and experience firsthand how a 30-foot buffer performs. Imagine what it looks like to have three homes across the back within 40 feet of our property or your property. Imagine years of close-range construction activity and ask yourselves if 30 feet is enough. I would like to address an issue Mr. Riley referenced on the 12th. This picture and the next photo are not of the most recent storm. These photos are from December 11th, when only 1.5 inches of rain fell. Supposed to move? It's not moving. Here we go. Let's see. In this photo, I've circled the area where the silt fence fails to hold the water back and floods onto our properties. That's my property right beyond that silt fence. With each and every storm, it floods. Before the forest was clear cut, its canopy slowed down the rate of rainfall. Now removed, the unmitigated rain falls at a higher rate, builds up behind the silt fence, and overwhelms the area. The trees in the forest were loblolly pine, oak, and sweet gum, which absorbed 50 to 150 gallons of water per tree per day. Now that they're gone, when it rains, the water table rises higher than it ever did before. 9 years in our home, and we have never experienced the sump pump in our crawl space cycling continually day and night for a week or more, as it does now that the forest has been removed. And we have been through bigger storms than that one most recently. This is a picture of my neighbor's property. They could not be here today. SCD Inspector John Barwick has been to their property, to our property, several times and agrees that this is a legitimate problem that needs to be corrected. So far, no resolution. These conditions, the direct result of clear cutting, are unacceptable. This is a mess for our children and our family pets. It's drowning our yards and it's putting our trees on our properties at risk. How long will we have to live with these conditions? During our opposition to this application, we were told that our concerns with flooding were of no consequence because it is illegal for the developer to allow water to come onto our properties, and we were dismissed. This is Sarah Run, now runs higher and is carrying silt from the runoff. Sarah Run flows into Herring Creek and into Rehoboth Bay. That's in our development, by the way, that picture. And back to Robinsonville Road, the water seeps below the silt fence with 1 inch of water, and then on December 18th, it totally breached the fence. Mr. Lawson recommended that council consult with Forestry Department and DENREC. Please, please do that. They can answer the questions, the good questions you were asking on December 12th. Please continue to work with expediency so others do not have to live with this. As always, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Sergi Babasco, is that close? Okay.
Okay. I'm also a resident of the Chapel Green community. I've been there for about 15 years. After much and prolonged dissatisfaction by most residents of Eastern Sussex County regarding what we considered out of control development, council last March acknowledged that land use ordinances must be reviewed and rewritten to correct their deficiencies. It then took 6 months to organize the workshop last September to begin addressing this issue. During that workshop, some council members indicated that it might take several years to review and revise these land use ordinances. In the meantime, developments continue to be approved on the basis of these existing ordinances, despite council's acknowledgement that they are deficient, resulting in the continuing elimination of our county's natural assets, the deterioration in our quality of life, and the ever-increasing dissatisfaction by voters who are your constituents. All other forms of human endeavor allow for mid-course corrections to ensure that a satisfactory goal can be reached despite changes in initial and underlying assumptions which may have served as the basis for initial plans. Individuals, families, small companies, and even the largest multinationals make adjustments to their longer-term plans when such unexpected changes point to a need for a course correction, despite how complicated that may be. In almost all such cases, these course corrections are considered and implemented expeditiously, and certainly not over the course of years. What is it then that prevents our Sussex County government from doing likewise? How many more disasters, such as Coral Lakes that Jill just showed on the screen, will be approved based upon these current and inadequate land use ordinances while this effort drags on, as some of you appear to expect? As a concerned resident who is your constituent, I would therefore urge you to do the following. One, elevate this effort of rewriting land use ordinances to a higher priority than currently appears to be the case. Two, establish a publicly announced target date for completion of this effort. Three, continue to seek input from residents and the various local organizations, such as the Sussex Preservation Coalition, who are concerned with development and land use. Four, seek advice and input from other jurisdictions who have been more successful in managing growth. And finally, and perhaps most importantly, hold in abeyance any new applications for housing developments until such revised ordinances are enacted. This is a matter of the greatest importance to your constituents, and we're counting on our county council to address it expeditiously.
Thank you, sir. Susan Rosenblum.
Good morning. A lot of what I want to say kind of echoes what Jill already said, but I'm going to go ahead and read my statement.
Could we have your address, please?
It's 29 Aintree Drive, Lewis.
Thank you.
And it's Susan Petsy Rosenblum. After attending the council and planning and zoning workshop this past fall, I was relieved to hear how serious you all are in making improvements to the county code, especially with respect to forest and wetlands preservation. But the clock is ticking, and so much damage is still occurring in the meantime. My husband and I moved to a one-acre piece of property in Chapel Green in 2015. The parcel is partially wooded and includes federal wetlands that are adjacent to Sarah Run. We would routinely get ponding in our backyard whenever it rained. And so a few years ago, we spent several thousand dollars to have a French drain installed to divert some of the water away from the house and toward the wooded area of our property. The French drain worked, and we no longer got the ponding after subsequent rainfalls. But that was before the 100 plus acres of trees behind our property was clear cut to make way for the Coral Lakes Brentwood development. Now we were once again getting ponds in our backyard, including areas where they never occurred before. Now, every time it rains, I feel deflated and depressed because we truly tried to get the message across to planning and zoning before all those trees were cut down. My neighbors did a lot of research and went into great detail at the Coral Lakes hearing, describing the science behind the forest and the wetlands located behind our neighborhood and what happens in the community of Chapel Green when there's a lot of rainfall. But in the end, as you know, our concerns were just brushed off. The fact that it has flooded badly in many areas, not just our neighborhood, should have been a wake-up call years ago, a sign that things will get worse if we continue to be complacent about the consequences of building with disregard to the forest and wetlands. It's happening already. It happened in my backyard. And so what am I supposed to do now? You know, I know that property rights are very important in the county, but what about my property rights and my quality of life? How do I protect my property from the drainage caused by a developer's actions? I mean, I get depressed every time I look out my window. So please, please do what you can to help us and alleviate the problem. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
Oliver Grums.
Good morning and Happy New Year.
Morning.
My name is Oliver Gums. I am the Director of Finance for the Cape Henlopen School District. I come before you on behalf of all of the Sussex County School District CFOs in support of the Voluntary School Assessment Program. As you are aware, Senate Bill 186 was enacted by the legislature that allows for the collection of voluntary school fees based on the program parameters. This is vital for helping us keep the tax rate lower for existing constituents within all of our school districts. It would have a significant impact due to all of the growth that is happening in all of our school districts. Just for Cape Henlopen alone, over the last 3 years, we have grown over 500 students due to all the growth, which equals one new school. And this money that, once the program is enacted, would help keep our tax rate lower. So I know you have a presentation this morning regarding the program. would urge and respectfully ask that you take action to enact all the ordinances necessary to collect the fees. Thank you.
Thank you.
Could we have your address, please?
My personal address is...
You can use your school address if you want.
Cape Henlopen School District, and it is 1270 Kings Highway, Lewis, 19958.
Thank you. Operator, check online, please, for public comment. Or not. Did you say nobody's online?
I'll say it officially. Apparently no one is online for a public comment, Mr. President.
We'll close public comments. Mr. Lawson, you're up next.
Okay, thank you. Next on the agenda is a presentation and discussion related to voluntary school assessment. We are joined today in person by Mr. Jamie Mack from the Department of Education and online by Ms. Jennifer Carlson, also with the Department of Education. Thank you, Jamie, very much for being here and appearing in person. We are going to utilize a virtual presentation here with Ms. Carlson, so she is listening in, and should she need to participate, she will be able to.
Morning.
Good morning. Welcome.
Thank you, sir. Good morning, everyone. My name is Jamie Mack. I'm an education associate for Capital Projects with the Department of Education. My main role is budget and policy related to school construction, maintenance, and operations. So today I'm talking about voluntary school assessments. The voluntary school assessments are a fee currently used in Newcastle County. They're paid by developers to school districts to support school construction, maintenance, and operations. Based on Delaware Code, developers have two options when it comes to VSA. They can pay the calculated per student fee, or they can donate land in an equivalent value to the district. And if they do donate land, it is at the district's discretion, DOE's discretion, to accept that donation. It must be land that's suitable, usable for a school property. But there is that option that some developers use. Funds that come in through VSA can be used for both major cap and minor cap projects. Major cap are generally those projects of $1 million or more at this point, with some exclusions for roofing, heating, things like that, that can still be considered minor cap, sorry. One of the benefits of the VSA program is that the funds collected can be used as the local share of any school construction and operations projects. So here I have the reference in Delaware Code that lays out the formula for the VSA calculation. It's based on the average cost per child for new public school. That is calculated on an annual basis. It's updated each year, typically in the spring. That number is then multiplied by the local percentage share for the relevant school district. Each district in the state has a different local share, ranging somewhere from a 60-40 split to about an 80-20 split. In the calculation, it's assumed that there will be a half of student per new residential unit. So essentially, they're assuming one student for every other home that would be built as part of the development. And then, as I said, the VSA fees are updated each spring for the next fiscal year. So we'll be updating in March or April for FY25, which would begin in July of next year. So in Title IX, there's now authority for Sussex County Council to implement VSA in Sussex County. That is contingent upon the county taking action. And if adopted, it essentially says that the county may require certification of adequate school capacity for new residential developments recorded as major record subdivision plans. as well as the county, municipalities within the county, if it were to move forward with VSA, would also have the requirement for VSA collection. So if they were to build within an established municipality, the municipality through their code enforcement department would work with the developers to ensure they're aware of their requirements. And the VSA requirements would apply to any residential subdivision plan for over 5 units in size. For any lands in a municipality located in a county that utilizes voluntary school assessments as set forth in Title IX, and notwithstanding any home rule or charter provision to the contrary. So we don't have a lot of direct involvement with the counties. We tend to work with the developers. Once the county notifies the developer that VSA is required for a subdivision, they reach out to myself at DOE, and they provide us a location of the development, they provide a site plan of the development, and they provide the plan development size in terms of number and type of units. Once we have that request from a developer, we reach out to the school district, we determine their current capacity, we add the additional students from the proposed development based on the calculation. And at that point, they provide us an answer back with the capacity of all the feeder schools in that pattern for the development. So that typically will be an early childhood center, if there is one, then an elementary school, a middle school, and a high school. If any one of those schools, it is at over 85% of their capacity, at that point, VSA becomes a requirement for that development. The district then provides us that confirmation. We provide a final letter to the developer, and then we would work with the developer to establish a VSA agreement if that's required. So we have a simple draft agreement that we can provide to the developer. They can discuss with their property owner, their client, who whether they want to do the land donation or if they're going to do the VSA fees. I can say I've been doing this for about a year and a half, and we've only seen one discussion right now about a land donation. Primarily, it goes to the fees. we provide the developer with the per-unit assessments, and that is calculated each fiscal year. It goes into place at the date of the first building permit for the residential unit. So once they get that first permit, we calculate VSA at that fiscal year. At that point, it is good for 5 years. So essentially, we set the fee at the beginning of building. That fee remains stable for 5 years. If they complete construction of the development within 5 years, we close out that VSA agreement. If they do not complete construction within the 5 years, then it's updated to the fees at the fiscal year of that 5-year anniversary. And then it would continue on from there until they complete construction. The payments are made directly to Delaware Department of Education. We, in our FSF, the state accounting system, set up an appropriation for each district. Those fees are deposited directly into the appropriation for that district. And then the districts are able to request a transfer of that funding. That starts typically with an email or phone call conversation with me. We lay out the requirements, get the information, how much funding, what the purpose of the funding is, and then we work through the process of getting approval of DOE leadership, the Office of Management Budgets, the Comptroller General's Office, and the co-chairs of the Joint Committee on Capital Improvements. And once that's done, and all those approvals are in place, the funds are transferred and the district can move forward with the use. And that's a fairly quick introduction to everything. Happy to take questions. If there are any questions that I don't have the answer to offhand, I'll certainly record them and get back to Mr. Lawson with answers so he can share that information with the council.
Thank you for coming up. Any questions of this gentleman? Anybody? And I'm sure there was, but you didn't write the law.
No.
You just have to be doing your job today, so don't take any butter upon him.
I've been in state government for almost 20 years, so yeah, I understand that. Not a problem.
Mr. Schaefer, you had a
question. Are you familiar with the exclusions in the
yes.
legislation?
Yes, so VSA does not apply to developments that are primarily 55 plus communities or targeted for low-income housing, and there is an exception in there. And it even works if only a portion of the development is one or the other. We can work with the developer to make sure that we're only charging the fees on the correct units.
Yeah, but I follow a lot of school buses sometimes. I see a lot of kids get on school buses from apartment complexes. They go for free, I guess. They don't pay anything.
Only if they meet the 55 plus or low income, they would be excluded. But if they are traditional residential apartments, townhomes, single family homes, they all pay the same fee.
In a major subdivision. Mm-hmm. If it's not a major subdivision, if it's a standalone unit, they pay nothing.
Correct, but you know that could be something that council can work through in their process.
How about condo units?
Would be the same from our perspective.
So they are, okay, they're exempt, well, pretty much, okay. And we're questions, Mr. Chief, you have any questions? Mr. Green, you have any questions? Mr. Riley, do you have any questions?
No.
Wow, okay. Thank you, sir, for coming. We appreciate
it.
Thank you very much. Mr. Lawson, you are up.
All right. Thank you. Thank you again, Jamie, for being here. Appreciate it. If we have any follow-up, we'll certainly be in touch. Thank you. Okay, next item of business, Mr. President, is the consideration and approval of Dewey Beach Memorandum of Understanding related to New Town Hall. Information contained in the packet related to this included a memo from myself and a copy of the Memorandum of Understanding. I will give the highlights here, and then we are joined by EMS Director Robbie Murray, who I will ask to give a few minute update on our participation with the town and the benefits of our EMS system. So you may be aware that since 2022, the EMS occupied a portion of the Town of Dewey's building located on Coastal Highway in the center of town. They've operated a seasonal unit there and found the proximity to Route 1 in the coastal towns during the summer months have improved the response times exponentially. When the Town of Dewey embarked on the initiative to construct a new town hall and police department, town officials approached the county to gauge interest in co-locating an EMS station at the new town hall. Based on the improvement of the EMS system as a whole, county stakeholders agreed this arrangement should be pursued. The discussions have been memorialized over the last several months in an MOU. The MOU specifies the county and the town's roles and responsibilities for the property. Dewey will be responsible for all aspects of the construction of the new town hall, as well as all of its long-term maintenance. The county has reviewed and approved the footprint the EMS will use based on construction drawings produced by George Miles and Buer. In general, the EMS footprint includes one bay in the garage, as well as over 1,000 square feet of quarter space on the second floor. We will execute a future lease agreement with the town specifying these terms and conditions, but at this time we are only considering the MOU, which has a financial contribution component to it. The county will contribute $1 million to the overall town hall and police department construction cost. The county will pay half upon Dewey's execution of a construction contract and the other half upon reaching 75% of construction completion. At this time, I'd ask Mr. Murray to come forward and just give you a few moment highlight of our response times there, how they've been affected by the Dewey Beach.
Thank you, Mr. Lawson, Mr. President, County Council. Thank you for the opportunity to talk a little bit about Dewey Beach. As Mr. Lawson said, we started that initiative back in 2022. Just a little bit of history on our seasonal power units. We've actually had seasonal power units since 2008. Hard to believe 15, 16 years ago, we put our first seasonal power unit up, and that unit roamed between Bethany Beach and Rehoboth, and whichever area was busy, that unit would cover. That lasted until 2020, just 3 or 4 years ago. In 2020, we opened up the Milton Paramedic Unit, and at the same time, we acknowledged that we were having extended response times along the Route 54 corridor in the southern part of the county. We decided to move that seasonal power unit that we've had since 2008 down to Route 54 in the area of Americana Bayside, and that improved the response times in that area dramatically. 2021, that summer season proved to be exceptionally busy. The Rehoboth and Lewis fire districts, we were experiencing over on average 20 responses per 24-hour period. Just looking at it system-wide, we're at about 10 responses per 24-hour period for our medic units. So that Medic 104 in Lewis was working twice as hard, having twice the number of responses. In acknowledgement of that, we worked with Dewey Beach, and in 2022, with your support, we created a lease with the town of Dewey for Medic 114, and that unit went in service on May 28th of 2022. It is the ideal location. Not only does it give us quick response times into the town of Dewey, but also the city of Rehoboth and all of those areas. It serves as an intercept for units heading north towards Beebe from the southern part of the county. We have quick access down to the inlet, and if the southeast part of the county gets busy, we can certainly shift that unit down to the southeast part of the county. We've experienced an approximately 20% improvement in our 90th fractile response times when that unit is in service. In each of the last two summers, we've had over 500 responses each summer for Medic 114 out of Dewey Beach. Each year in the budget, we budget 130 12-hour shifts per budget year. We pick up from Memorial Day to Labor Day every single day for 12 hours, and then we pick up the shoulder season May and September on holiday or weekends. So we'll pick up Saturday and Sunday for each of the May and September. In addition, we have a few extra built-in shifts for the busy weekends. Dewey Goes Pink, Sea Witch, we also staff that medic unit during those times. As staffing permits, if we have extra staff, that is the first daytime extra unit that gets deployed out of Dewey, and it's the second nighttime extra unit that would get deployed. The proposed facility is 1,800 square feet on the second floor for living quarters for the station, and about 800 square foot as a garage. In comparison, back in 2004, the county and the state entered into a very similar agreement over at Troop 5 in Bridgeville, where we put a unit up at Troop 5 in coordination with the state. This is about 20% larger station that we're proposing in Dewey, and it's for very similar money that we did back in 2004 with the state. I'm open for any questions, or if anybody has any questions.
Questions to council? I'm assuming, Mr. Lawson, this agreement that we give this $1 million and then we don't have any like monthly rents or yearly rents, or it's a one time, here we go, right?
That's correct. Thank you, Mr. Murray. Unless you have any questions of Mr. Murray. Thank you.
We're good. Thank you.
That's correct, Mr. President. When discussing this with town officials, one thing we did not want was a reoccurring lease payment or reoccurring utility payments. We will spell that out in the future lease agreement. We'll also spell out some of the other details that aren't really seen here in the MOU, including the use of the property, the detailed quarter and garage space, as well as outside vehicle parking and the terms. We're proposing this be a minimum of 20 years for the use of this space. So that will be listed in the lease agreement. That will come back to you at a future date.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Any questions to council? None, sir.
Okay, I would note that the MOU has been reviewed by staff and the town's attorneys. On December 7th, Dewey Mayor William Stevens signed the MOU, and they anxiously await our approval. And unless you have any other questions, I have a motion.
Any other questions? Nobody? Motion, sir, please.
Be it moved, the Sussex County Council approves a memorandum of understanding with the town of Dewey Beach related to the construction of the new town hall and police department and the county's contribution of $1 million to the same project as specified in the terms of the MOU.
Pleasure, council.
I'll move for approval.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson, questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I have a yes motion carried.
Thank you. Sir. Last, I have the county administrator's report for January 2nd, 2024. Item one, per the attached department fact sheets, the following projects have received substantial completion effective December 6th, Howard Manor and the Estuary Phase 4A construction record. Item two, the Delaware State Police year-to-date activity report for November 2023 is attached, listing the number of violent crime and property crime arrests, as well as total traffic charges and corresponding arrests. In addition, DUI and total vehicle crashes investigated are listed. In total, there were 190 troopers assigned in Sussex County for the month of November. Item three, it's with great sadness that we inform you that county employee Robert Bob Kreitzer passed away on Saturday, December 16th, 2023. Bob began his career with Sussex County in 2002 as an equipment operator, one in environmental services. He left the county in 04 for several years and returned in November of 2017. His last position held was equipment operator three. We'd like to extend our condolences to the family. And item five, it's with great sadness that we inform you that county pensioner Vanessa Pettijohn passed away on Wednesday, December 20th, 2023. Ms. Pettijohn began her career with Sussex County in 1976, where she worked until December 2022 for a total of 46 years of service. Her last position with the county was billing analysis. We would like to extend our condolences to the Pettijohn family. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Jennings, the bank account resolution, is there no need for that, is there?
Correct. Since no leadership changed, we do not need to do anything with this item.
Mr. Parker, come on down, please.
Happy New Year, County Council.
Happy New Year.
Quick item for me this morning. I'll bring the T-Hanger building project to you one last time, located at our Delaware Coastal Airport. The project, you may recall, was originally awarded in March of last year to the Wayland Company. The project itself is essentially complete at this point. We did have some additional work items that popped up back in the fall, primarily as a result of fire marshal review. And those items were approved in change order number one on October 24th by the council, in the amount of $19,451.10. So that was change order one. We continued progressing the work towards the end of the project, November into early December, and the contract time, we realized we needed some additional days to complete the project. So the delay items are summarized in your memo. Basically, a lot of it was due to the fire marshal review timeframe and some of the additional work that we had to go through to get the item protection measures installed. Concrete restoration, which was performed by ADEL, caused some delays. Wings and wheels shut us down for a couple days, and then there was some delays with the building delivery at the initial part of the project. So change order two, essentially submitted by Wayland at our request, just captured the total time delay for the project to formalize it. So all these work items equated to 29 additional calendar days with no alteration of project cost. So those are the kind of change orders that we like to have.
There you go.
And since this time, the substantial completion was reached on the project. That's also attached in your packet. That occurred on December 5th. All punch list items have been substantially completed as well by the Wayland Company. So the project is substantially complete, and we're just looking for formal approval of change order two for the time delay today.
You have a motion?
Be it moved upon the recommendation of Sussex County Engineering Department that change order number two be approved, adding 29 calendar contract days with no net cost change, as well as granting of substantial completion for the T-Hanger building project.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second.
Second.
Mr. Riley, any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I'll vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Mr. Bryant, come on down.
Morning, Mr. President, Council, and good Happy New Year to you all. Continuing with airport business, what you have before you is your annual approval of eligible members who desire to continue to serve or would like to serve as committee members on the Delaware Coastal Airport Advisory Committee. A little bit of background information. The committee was established by the County Council to advise and make recommendations to the airport manager and County Council on policies and programs at the airport. Also, it's important to know that the committee shall be advisory in nature and shall have no authority to bind Sussex County to any liabilities. and the names are presented for your approval.
You have a motion?
Yes.
Please read your motion.
We have moved that Sussex County Council appoints Ezra Rickards, Dustin Berlinger, Rick Garner, Larry Kelly, Jeffrey Reed, Mark Ryan, Ray Hopkins, and Scott Thomas to the Delaware Coastal Airport Advisory Committee for calendar year 2024.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second.
Second.
Mr. Riley, questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried. Next.
We have a lease extension request presented to us by the State of Delaware Office of Management and Budget, acting on behalf of the Delaware State Police and acting by and through the Department of Safety and Homeland Security. This is the second and final five-year lease extension for the Delaware, for the aircraft hangar that is utilized by the Delaware State Police.
You have a motion?
Yes, I do.
Please read your motion.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approves the State of Delaware Department of Homeland Security request for a second extension to the ground lease for Lot G at the Delaware Coastal Airport for an additional five-year period ending June 23rd, 2029.
Pleasure, Council.
For adoption.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second.
Second.
Mr. Riley, questions on the motion? Mr. Riley.
I am wondering, so this is the second and final extension, and what happens after that? Renegotiate the new contract? Or?
I would assume we would renegotiate a new contract. Their services, the state, the county, even to the airport, are essential.
For sure.
For sure.
Any more questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir. Have a great day. Grant request, Mrs. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first grant request is Boardwalk Buddy Walk Fund. They are requesting $7,500 for operational expenses towards their Uncle Dave's ice cream shop to create an environment for individuals with special needs to live, work, and play. There are no previous grants to this organization. Mr. Schaefer placed on the agenda.
Mr. Schaefer.
I'll offer $500 from the 3rd District account.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second.
I'll second it.
Mr. Hudson, to grant $500 to the Boardwalk Buddy Walk Fund for their Uncle David's Ice Cream Shop from District 3 Council MAC account. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay, the next one is Eastern Shore Afram Festivals requesting $500 for their MLK Day of Celebration. Last grant received for this event was an amount of $500, which was $400 for Mr. Vincent and $100 for Mr. Wilson. Mr. Vincent placed on the agenda.
I'll make the motion to grant $500 from District 1 Council MAC account.
I'll make that motion.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second.
You're going to start the new year out, right, spending your money.
Yeah, I say that's right. Yeah.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second, Mr. Riley, to grant $500 from District 1 Council MAC account to the Eastern Shore Afram Festival with their MLK Day of Celebration. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mr. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay, and the last one is Bethany Fenwick Island Chamber of Commerce is requesting $5,000 for their Fire and Ice Festival. Last grant received for this event was $1,000 from Mr. Riley, and Mr. Hudson placed on the agenda.
I would make a motion to grant $1,000 from District 4.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second.
Second.
Mr. Riley, to grant $1,000 to the Bethany Fenwick Island Chamber of Commerce for their Fire and Ice Festival from District 4 Council MAC account. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried. Thank you, ma'am. Introduction, proposed zoning ordinances, Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. President. The only one we have today is in Mr. Riley's district. An ordinance grant a conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for a grocery store to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Georgetown 100, Sussex County, containing 0.23 acre more or less.
I'll introduce it.
Mr. Riley, introduce it.
That is all.
Council member comments. Council member comments. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Riley, second.
I second.
Mr. Hudson, questions on the motion? We'll take a vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I will, yes, we're now adjourned. Thank everybody.